This is Android Buffet, episode 122, recorded November 19th, 2012, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. It is November 19th, 2012, and I'm once again here with that guy. What's his name again?
Dude. We'll just call him Dude.
Yes. I am once again here with the dude. Howdy, dude.
Howdy. So episode 122, huh?
Yes.
Do you know who Jean Clément is?
Why does that name sound familiar?
She died a few years ago. Like 15.
Okay.
1977.
1977 wasn't 15 years ago.
It wasn't?
No.
Are you sure? 14 years?
1977?
1997.
Didn't you say 77?
I meant to say 1997.
Okay, but the name definitely sounds familiar. I just can't place it.
She died in 1997.
Okay.
I was paying more attention in 1997. I mean, lots of people died in 1997, right?
I'm sure.
The interesting part is that she was born in 1875.
That is interesting.
So she died at 122 years old. She was over 122 years old when she died.
And was she the oldest person?
Yes.
Or at least in recorded history?
In recorded history, she's lived longer than anybody else. She's the only person that has actually been confirmed to live longer than 120 years. Word is that she actually met Vincent van Gogh when she was 13 years old.
What did she say about him?
That he was dirty, badly dressed, and disagreeable.
Was she standing on the left side or the right side?
I don't know. Maybe he couldn't hear her?
I was wondering if the sun with the ear or the sun without the ear. But
anyway, so that's the...
The 122 fact?
The 122 tie-in. Interestingly enough, it's also the emergency number in Australia and China.
Okay. Also, happy...
And Egypt.
Happy anniversary to the Kindle.
The Kindle. How old is the Kindle?
5 years.
I thought Android was 5 years old.
It was. Wasn't that last week? Now the Kindle's 5 years old.
So Android is older than the Kindle.
By a couple days.
Wow. Well, And they both are kind of dominant in their field, right?
Well, you know,
in their niche.
You have to understand the Kindle e-reader, the black and white Kindle, isn't what it once was only because, you know, now tablets are more affordable. But for people who want purpose-built reading devices, the Kindle is still the most popular one.
I think the most popular purpose-built reading
electronic reading device. We're not going to talk about
paper.
It's
a book.
Okay. We're talking about ebooks.
All right.
A book is not a device. Although we could,
speaking of which,
yeah, we could talk about Johannes Gutenberg.
I'm sorry?
We could talk about Johannes Gutenberg if you like.
Who's that?
The developer of the modern printing press.
Oh, yeah, the Bible dude.
Just the Bible dude. He was involved in a lot of things. You should read that book by Jeff Jarvis, the Kindle single, Gutenberg the Geek. Very fascinating. I got it when it was on sale. I like Jeff Jarvis. I should find an excuse to meet him. He works in the city. At some point, he's a professor at Sydney University. At some point, there has to be an event where I would get a chance to talk to Jeff Jarvis. That would be interesting.
I'm sure it would be.
Speaking of event, I am attempting to organize an event for one of the other sites that I'm involved in.
Which is?
The second Flight Wisdom Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. I am trying to organize a group of aviation enthusiasts to go see a Gilbert and Sullivan production. We did that a few years ago. And the New York Gilbert and Sullivan players will be doing, what are they doing this year? The Mikado, Pinafore, and I forget what the third one is. I think Yeoman of the Guard.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You are not familiar with Gilbert and Sullivan?
They're like playwrights, right?
Operetta.
Who?
They did operettas, like musicals, only 19th century musicals. You know, they're the ones who did The Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah, they So is that a play or an opera, and what's the difference?
Operetta.
Besides singing.
Operetta, not an opera. The closest thing to an operetta today would be a modern musical. I've silenced you again.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Okay, it is a play with musical numbers. It's something. It's halfway in between a modern musical and a classic opera. Yeah, that's where we get such songs as, I am a very model of a modern major general. I have information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the vice historical. From Marathon to Waterloo, Nordic and Agricola. I'm very well acquainted. I'll stop now.
Thank you.
No one ever wants me to sing. Anyway. One time, Jonathan Nadeau wanted me to sing, and I never got a chance. Anyway. So, that should be interesting. Bad. That should be interesting. I'm trying to organize that for when the New York and Gilbert and Sullivan Players are doing weekends in January. Should be fun.
Okay.
Although I always find theaters, the leg room isn't what I'd like it to be. There were some interesting developments this week. Do you remember when I got that Freedom Pop?
Yes.
I've decided to return the Freedom Pop.
It's just not worth it, or what?
Well, no. The problem was the coverage area. I sent them an email about it. I really enjoyed their response. I have it right here. Let's see. Freedom Pop, Freedom Pop, Freedom Pop, Freedom Pop, Freedom Pop. Here we are. Here is my email. I wish to return the Freedom Pop I paid a deposit on for a refund. The coverage map indicates my residence is covered by Freedom Pop. In practical tests over the last weeks, I was only able to get a good signal in one of the places I frequent. Please send me instructions for return. Here's the response from John at Freedom Pop Customer Support. We are sorry to hear that you want to return your advice. We want to inform you that if you return your advice, we will immediately cancel your service and you will need to pay a reactivation fee if you decide you want to activate your account again. If you are still firm in your decision and are not satisfied, we'd like to know what we can do to make your experience more positive. Otherwise, please confirm and we will arrange for the device to be returned and refund issued.
Sounds fair.
But did they read the fact that the only reason I'm returning the device is that I'm not getting any service? Are they going to fix that?
Did you respond and say you could make me happy by improving your coverage?
I was going to do that after the podcast.
Okie dokie.
So I went to the store.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Walmart. I had to go to a special Walmart.
A special Walmart.
I went and bought myself a MiFi for $79.99 from the people at Internet on the Go.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I mentioned them a while back?
Mm-hmm.
But they changed their pricing model. One, they are on the Sprint network, which is certainly more full-featured than the Clear 4G network, as you might remember from your WiMAX days.
Mm-hmm.
They are now offering 4 gigabytes for $45 with no... that's never expires as long as you use the service at least once a year.
Wow.
So
that seems oddly reasonable.
Yeah, so if you do the math on that, let's get a calculator here. They have other plans. They do have monthly plans that would get you more. So if you sign up for a 30-day plan, you get, for the same price, you get double the amount of... So you get 8 gigabytes for $45 instead of 4 gigabytes, but then it would expire at the end of the month.
Right.
But, you know, I just want to sit around and read in various places and maybe, you know, send an email here or there. So I'm not going to watch a movie on this thing. If I do, I'm going to give them the more expensive plan. But let's just take, what is that? 4,096 is 4 gigabytes. So 45 divided by 4,096 is 1.1 cents.
A cent a meg.
Yeah, that's not bad. I can live with that.
Hard drives used to cost that.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty good for something, you know, with the... So that's... I was able to sit earlier today at a place near my place of business. I actually went back to work. Oh, I didn't mention that, did I? I couldn't work at my place of business last week. I wasn't able to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane Sandy hurt me.
Oh.
Well, indirectly, I got so stressed that I pulled my neck. I couldn't turn my head, so I couldn't safely drive. For some odd reason, you need to look to the left and the right whenever you change lanes.
Yes.
And since my neck entirely seized up because of all the things that happened, around, you know, all the stuff I was doing because of the hurricane, I couldn't drive. So I went to see my doctor for advice. He gave me some Vicodin. He gave me Vicodin. By the way, Vicodin does nothing for me.
No?
No, didn't help in the slightest. I was still in pain. So I feel better knowing that I will not become a drug addict. I will not be addicted to prescription painkillers because they do not help me. Or maybe that means I need more painkillers. Either way, I'm better now.
Good.
Although on a related note, I am looking to buy a new mattress. You know anything about mattresses, Jerry?
They tend to be roughly rectangular.
Well, I was trying to figure out. I went and started doing my research. You know, there's memory foam, there's foam, there's latex, there's innerspring. There is firm. There's plush. There's pillow top. Then you get into, do you want a foundation? Do you want a box spring? Or do you want a slat? I hear the platform beds and slats are making a comeback. Then, of course, what size bed do you want? Do you want a single bed? Do you want a double bed? Do you want, you know, a gigantic bed? And then if you happen to, and in my case, if you are a single person and do not currently have plans to change your status and decide you want a single bed, can you get a single bed that will fit somebody your height? So I went to the mattress store. This was when just before I went to the Walmart. I figured I needed to leave the house after 5 days of being unable to move. So I stopped by a mattress shop. They weren't very helpful.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't really like that aggressive sales technique where you have to buy a mattress now or we can't guarantee pricing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I changed car dealerships. When I bought my car, the first dealership I went to, they gave me a price. I came back 2 days later. They told me, they shouldn't have given you that price. That's so low, it's impossible. We won't honor it. So they gave me a different price. So I came back the next day. Yesterday was the last day of the month. Today is the first of the month. We can't honor that price anymore. That was also...
Well, that's ridiculous. I have one thing that I do know about mattresses.
Yes.
Is that the markup on mattresses is ridiculously high. Well, so there is always room for negotiating.
Well, I thought about buying a memory foam mattress on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel sort of nervous about mail ordering a mattress. It just seems, you know, it's like mail ordering clothes, which I've done because I'm tall and I'm big and sometimes you have to special order things. Not necessarily special order in the sense that it has to be custom tailored for you, but they don't always have your size in stock. But if anybody has any advice for me on the subject of mattresses, I'd certainly appreciate it. Speaking of advice, we did get an email. Getting back to the subject of, what do we talk about on the show again, Terry?
Anything and everything.
I thought we talked about Android.
Well, sometimes.
Okay. Where did we leave off? Let's see. This message came in. Did I read the message last week from Jay Whitehead? I can't remember. Jay,
what was it about?
He wanted to let us know that he loves the show and looks forward to listening every week. If not,
I don't think you did. I think, and even if you did, I think you should read it again.
Okay. Hey guys, just wanted to let you know that I love the show and look forward to listening every week. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Jay Whitehead. But we have a new one here. This is from Tom Machete. Hi, Jerry and Guru. Been listening to your podcast the last few weeks and I'm really enjoying it. I was getting bored with the other Android casts out there and find your wit really entertaining and different. I am writing you. I wonder which one of us has the wit that's entertaining and different.
We have wit.
Yeah.
There is wit among us.
Well, we have a Tom M. in the chat room. I wonder if that's the same guy. Tom M., if you happen to be the one who sent this letter, say hi in the chat room. Where were we?
And if you're not the guy, then say hi in anyway. The chat room. Because we like hearing hi in the chat room, or reading hi, or seeing hi. Hi is good. It's better than low.
I am writing to you to suggest a possible topic for your show.
Ooh.
I have 2-year-old Samsung Echo 4G and just upgraded to the Galaxy 3 over the summer. I migrated from Sprint to T-Mobile in the process since the service was much better in my area with T-Mobile, unlike your experience in Jacksonville. I always liked the Epic 4G and it's still a great device since I rooted it and am running Paranoid Android on it. I still love that name. But then again, I'm a Hitchhiker's Guide fan, so probably. I would like to do something with it, such as a low-power web or DLNA server, or ultimately a Minecraft server for the kids, but running Linux on it at this point seems very buggy and slow. It would be cool to see an analysis of different uses for old Android phones as they come off phone plans as mine has. I'm sure many people are in this boat as well, since the crop of 2-year-old phones do have some decent life and capabilities. It did work well as an XBMC remote, but I found a wireless keyboard with built-in trackpad was better overall. Good luck with your show in the future, Tom. So I remember a while back we did talk about a program that would allow you to run several servers on your old phone.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, Trey? Remember you? I think it was the door-to-door geek who found it fascinating. I'm just trying to remember the name of the program. I'm going to have to look through old episodes. There is something like Servers Ultimate, which allows you to run your free DLNA, DNS, Dynamic DNS, email, FTP, IRC, proxy, SMS gateway, SOX, SSH, SOX. Did I say SOX twice? Okay, I did. Telnet, test, time, HTTPS, or secure web dev server from one app called Server Ultimate. And I think that may have been the one we were talking about at the time. And if I remember correctly, there was also a pro version.
So basically what you're saying is he doesn't have to run pure Linux on it. He can run Android and still use it as a server.
Yeah, and if you look in the market, if you do a search for the word server, what am I finding here? That I'm finding that program. Here's Paw Server, which is a web server for Android devices, a VNC server, a Droid Mote server, which is a Android-to-Android Wi-Fi remote control server, Dropbear SSH, which is a standard Linux program, Diablo 3 server checker, FTP server, Droid VNC server. This is just Plex for Android, but let's see. I don't know if you can run Plex. Yeah, it works with your server. I don't know if you can actually do it the other way around. They have an X server. It implements a mostly complete X11 server running natively at Android, allowing X Windows system apps to be run remotely. I'm going to have to try that one. That is very interesting because I have a lot of things that run X. Let's see what else we have here.
What is X?
The graphics in Linux, they run on an X server.
Ah.
So you'd be able to send an application that was running on another computer. You have it pipe its graphics output to. Think of it sort of like VNC, only at a lower level.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Let's see what we have here. An iFi server for Android. So that's for the iFi cards. My FTP server, more FTP servers. You can look yourself, but there are a lot of different servers. And you know what I do with my old Android phones? One of them contributes to this podcast. At one point, I brought you in on Skype. Do you remember when I brought you in on Skype using the phone?
Of course not.
I told you at the time.
I believe you.
By the way, when I go on that...
You didn't ask me if you ever did. You asked me if I remember.
Okay. Well, at one point, I did it, and you barely noticed.
So you're saying that your phone... did a better job than the Raspberry Pi.
No, the Raspberry Pi does the streaming. I did the Skype on there.
Well, even though the jobs may have been different, the phone performed admirably.
By the way, when I go on that trip next month,
yeah,
the Pi will be doing the streaming.
Oh,
I'm going to try to
see. Sorry, folks.
One, it's one episode. And two, I'm going to try to see if I the new Pi is supposed to be arriving, the one with 512 megabytes. I'm hoping I'm going to have two pies. I'm hoping that's going to fix the problem. I'm going to do a little work on it. Also, I've been working on some solutions for, since I don't have to bring in multiple people. It's not like in Charlotte where I planned on having multiple microphones.
Right.
All I need is one microphone and one input for you. I'm coming up with some solutions for something that I can fit into a suitcase. That I fit into a suit. You know what I mean? A much smaller suitcase. I'm not hauling a large multi-channel mixer to... on my vacation, I'm sorry.
Okie dokie.
I'll save that for trips to conventions, not trips to Legoland. And I think I'll spend a day at Disney. I hear that they've finally remodeled the Tiki Room. It's now, fortunately, under old management. Been looking forward to that.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, that's my train of thought. Oh, yes, we have Tom. So I have done a lot of things with old phones. For example, let's say you could use it to... play music from your phone to, let's say, a remote device. So there are a lot of different options. You could hook it up as a receiver of music to, let's say, a stereo and remotely control it. So there are some good options, and I'd love to hear what people have to say. What have they done with their old phones? And if we think of any more ideas, certainly mention it. So we have some news. Samsung has asked to see the HTC Apple settlement.
Well, of course.
As part of their continuing issues, because they want to know what their... competition has actually settled on. Google Moto, or whatever you want to call it, Moto Google, or Google-rola, and Apple are considering arbitration to resolve their patent dispute.
That would be nice, I guess.
There's a new version of Google Play. It allows Google deletion. Play. Yes. No, it's Google Play. You have to you can't get the excitement in there. Google Play. Okay. Allows deletion of items from their new wish list and more. Also, apparently, there's something that one site found in the code that indicates in order to post a review of an app, in the near future, you may need to have a Google Plus account. I'm not sure what you think about that.
Oh, dude, did you look at the chat? Tom said hi.
He did. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
And Murph said yay news. Murph loves news. Maybe Murph wants to come to Gilbert and Sullivan. Nah. Anyway, moving along. So what do you think about the idea that you would need a Google Plus account, essentially a social network account, with your name identifying you in order to comment on an app? See, I don't care if a behind-the-scenes site knows who I am, but I sort of object to everybody who reads my feedback being able to know my full name and everything about me and see my picture. I don't know if that's what they're going to do.
It has been my experience.
Keeps the trolls away.
Many people... not all people, not most people, but many people. When they know that they are completely 100% anonymous, tend to be childish dicks.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. That's why I said it does keep the trolls away. But on the other hand, I do not like people coming after me for what I say. I like the freedom to be able to express my opinion. Now, does expressing my opinion have... is my opinion only legitimate if there is a large picture of me next to my opinion? Or can my accountability be that Google knows who's posting it, and if I abuse their terms of service, that they could suspend my account? And that wouldn't just mean
Google is not going to suspend your account because you made a trollish comment.
Again, the whole idea that that everything has to be part of my public profile, and even some of my private profiles. Why is it to comment on what I thought of an item, I have to reveal everything about myself? That just seems excessive. Why can't I reveal limited things? Why can't I be G from New York? Have you ever bought something through Google Wallet, not through a third-party site?
Nope.
Well, when you do that, there's a little option you can click that says, give this site a virtual email address. So they can still send you email. It'll be forwarded to your account, but they don't get your personal information. So Google Wallet can act as an anonymous relay to you without telling certain outside organizations who you are. So why can't my data be anonymized? And again, I understand what you're saying, and I understand that point of view, but I'm more reluctant to comment, even though I am not a troll. I am not somebody who's going to say something rude because I don't want somebody going and interfering with my life because they don't like what I say. I'm afraid of freely expressing my opinion without fear of retaliation.
Okay.
Let's say I hate my soundboard, and you see my picture of my little USB key next to it, and you come and start posting hateful things about that podcast I do. You start trolling the person who disagreed with you. Look at some of the stories of what people have done. And people have posted comments on Yelp, for example, and then the businesses have come after them and threatened litigation, and they were legitimate comments. I don't want to be bullied by somebody who doesn't like what I said about their product, as long as I am being respectful. I can say I don't like a product with being respectful of the other person, in a polite way, an honest way. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Which disagrees from mine. I believe that someone who is putting out an application, who is being constructive to the world, who is creating, is not going to have any. Is not by the very nature that they are creating and giving. I mean, although they may be selling, I mean, they're creating something and giving it to the world. And I'm using giving loosely.
But Jerry, that's you.
No, and I believe in your any app. Any person that wrote an app and put it in the App Store, they are not likely to be a troll by the very nature what is required to be a creator.
What about a spammy app? There are some of them in the market. There are malicious apps. There are apps that are, what was the one they were doing recently? Somebody put in apps that had the names of Apple products. So they put in iPhoto and all these other things for people to download.
But they still wrote the app. Now, there are thieves that will buy an app, download it, decompile it, make a few minor changes, and put it up there.
Yeah.
Those are not creators. They understand that what they're doing is temporary, and they're very likely, because they don't care about the rules in general, don't care about the comments that you make. So they are not likely to troll you either.
But you still understand my concern. My concern is that I
believe that your concern is you don't want anybody to know your name.
No, period. I don't mind. You know my name. Murph knows my name. You've both met me. I happen to like keeping certain aspects of my life from other aspects of my life. And I have always.
And it is that one single desire of yours that has formed your entire opinion about
publicness?
Requiring names on comments.
I don't object to requiring a name. The thing is, take Amazon, for example. Have you ever posted a comment on something you bought on Amazon?
Never.
I have. But I don't give my full name. I don't let everybody on Amazon, know my full name and be able to Google me and find out who I am. There's a little identity thing there.
Okay.
So what I am saying is I have no objection to being identifiable. I'm just saying that people being able to have access to every aspect of my life by virtue of anything I say seems like too much information. Now, you could say that you could limit the information you put out on the web, but in different areas, I'd like to have different information available. Now, when Google came out with Google Plus, I thought that's what they wanted to do. They came up with the idea of circles. You want to share with these people. You want to share with these people. But that's not what Google wanted. So Google wanted me to share identically with everybody. More and more, companies are trying to encourage everybody to provide more and more information about themselves. And in certain forums, I have no problem with providing information. I've always been very open. If you ask me a question, Jerry, I will likely answer it as honestly as possible. I don't think that despite the fact that there are certain things I don't mention, I don't think that I've ever given you the impression that I'm not telling you the truth, or at least as close to, you know, maybe a redacted version, but I am always telling you as close to the truth as I believe I should.
Okay.
So my decision to keep certain things private is somewhat reactionary in regards to the fact that I feel companies pressuring me to tell them everything. And if those companies respected the fact that there are certain things that I want to keep separate from other things, then I would certainly give them more information. Once it's out there, Jerry, it can't be taken back.
I think it's just a wide difference in how you and I treat that single solitary piece of information, which is our name. I go by Jerry. The vast majority of my emails are Jerry Jones. The vast majority of my usernames are Jerry Jones. That's, my name. And
I can answer that to some degree. And, there's sometimes I've sat around and said, why don't I just, give up? The world is going in the direction of publicness. Why don't I just consolidate everything under one identity? There are just two problems with that. And one of them is the more practical one. I've been doing it so long that I feel everybody would just be disappointed. Sometimes I get the impression people feel that there's some sort of great secret mystery, like I'm working for the CIA or something.
No, I'm just saying your concern about...
I'm just saying sometimes I feel that actually dismantling the entire infrastructure I've created to keep certain parts of my life separate from other parts of my life would be a tremendous... people would just come to me and say, why did you bother? Which is essentially...
And what?
Yeah.
They would be right.
Yeah, I'm saying that that's your opinion on the subject, and you would say that. But the thing is, at this point, I don't know how I would even do that if I started. How do you consolidate multiple identities into one?
You don't. Why even worry?
I don't worry about it. I only think about it when we have this conversation.
Identities and private information and personalities and...
Not personalities. I have one personality. I have different pseudonyms.
I'm talking about why be so stressed about having your name on a review. To you, it is a...
I feel
it
that...
It lets the entire world into your bubble. To me, it stops trolls from trolling.
Okay. No, I understand that point of view. On the other hand, I like my bubble sometimes. Maybe I should come out of my bubble. Maybe I'm too isolated in my bubble. But I think that's more of a reflection question than anything else.
I don't think putting your name would isolate you any less.
Sometimes I feel that by letting people see the full aspect that sometimes when I am being critical, I would feel less free to be critical. So, you're talking about civility, but what about the opposite end of that? People who, in some cases, would otherwise be honest will not be honest because they feel they're on the spot.
If you're not going to be honest...
Why write the review?
When you are writing text that is honestly not going to be associated with you as a person, why would you be honest when you are face-to-face talking to somebody?
I don't know. I'm always honest.
Being honest, then I think that speaks more to your own character than a problem with the system that requires a name. And when I say I don't mean you specifically. Well, I mean you in the third person sense.
I'd like to say that if I'm not being honest, I'm probably lying to myself as well. So I'm being at least as honest to myself as I am to anybody else. But I'm admitting that I could be subconsciously affected by certain decisions. Anyway, let's move on before I get too depressed.
Okie dokie.
Let's see. Oh, yes. The owner of CyanogenMod.com, the domain, shut down the site over some sort of dispute. Apparently, he was trying to... There were issues of money extortion.
Really? I thought it was a trademark thing.
No. See, the thing is... let me pull the article. There were several things if you actually go through the whole thread. Apparently, the domain was purchased and donated to the CM team, but the person who's been in charge of this CyanogenMod.com domain decided to erase the website and shut down all the .com stuff. Apparently, the individual was caught impersonating Steve Kondik, the creator of CyanogenMod, and using that false name to do referral deals. So essentially trying to make money off of it and impersonating the creator of the product.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently when they approached the owner to ask for the community to take control of the domain, he tried to get $10,000 for it. So basically there was a whole big thing. It's now been resolved. They are going to downgrade the .com in favor of the .org. But okay. Basically it was one of those things where when one person has control, and this has happened a few times in projects that I've not necessarily been directly involved in, that I've been either followed, where one, you know, somebody ends up having the domain for whatever reason because somebody paid for it. And at some point that person either falls out of reach. So sometimes they're just no longer associated with the project and you can't find them and the domain expires. Or whatever reason, you know, there's creative differences and, you know, there's infighting, even in volunteer projects. So there have definitely been some issues, I recall, over the years at different projects. I'm not sure if Murph remembers any.
Trolls.
Well, again, this isn't even trolling. This is...
No, what the guy with the...
The guy who was trying
domain?
To...
Yeah, sounds like a troll to me.
Well, holding hostage, yes. But the thing is, he had originally been in a pleasant relationship.
Which raises the point, why the change? What happened?
Who knows? But, you know, these things do happen. And that's why it's usually a good idea to make sure that multiple people have the keys. Management by committees, you know, may slow things down, but it means one person doesn't have too much power. Speaking of open source projects, Android 4.2 was released to the AOSP. And the Android 4.2 software development kit was released. So there are a few things that I didn't know about 4.2. Did you hear about this?
I thought it was just a minor... It makes some changes to some of the apps, but by and large, it's an extremely minor upgrade.
Yeah, but this thing, Daydream, did you see this? An interactive screensaver mode for when a device is charging or docked. So I actually have an app that uses it that was updated to take advantage of it. So it's an app that I use for photo viewing. So you can set it to activate in Daydream mode, so when the device is charging or docked, it'll display a slideshow of your photos. There's also clocks and all these other things. So that's nice. Native right-to-left language support. External display options beyond mirroring. So these are all nice things.
Ooh.
I know you like second screens, Jerry.
I'm a big multiple screen advocate, yes.
I can picture it on a tablet. I can't really picture that on a phone, though. Although, I can think of
one. Okay, how
about
this? You have it hooked up to your TV, and the TV is playing the video?
And the device is the remote?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I was thinking. That's the only thing I could really think of for the phone size. But anyway, there have also been some accusations of problems. Apparently, the newer version of the People app, if you want to edit a contact, it's missing the month of December. I don't know how they missed that one.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a whole list of problems that people have reported with 4.2, including things like Bluetooth issues. I'm not sure if you saw that list. It came out today after I'd written up this.
No, I have not seen the list. Bluetooth issues worries me. I mean, Bluetooth's hard enough to get right, but going backwards just...
Yeah. Let me see if I can find that document. One second. I put it into my pocket. Unfortunately, my pocket appears to be in reverse date order. I was trying to clean out some old things. And let me switch it. Sort to newest first. I'm on pocket. Here we are. Android 4.2 gate. Android police. Why is everything a gate? Have you noticed that?
Sorry.
Ever since Watergate, everything's been a gate. Let's see here. Auto brightness bugs. Many people have reported that auto brightness behavior is less than reliable. Bluetooth is basically broken. Bluetooth on everything but the Nexus 4 is in a sorry state. Audio streams extremely choppy. Third-party Bluetooth apps that create compatibility with devices like Wii controllers no longer function, throw an error instead. Random reboots, major instability. Extreme battery drain and slow charging. Lock screen widgets and camera apps have numerous bugs and glitches affecting them. Lock screen music controls for Google Music are randomly disappearing of a third-party music app. December is missing in the People Contact app. They omitted an entire month. So apparently Android Police is reporting that there are issues. Well, those aren't, you know. Admittedly, for this right now, the only things that have 4.2 are Nexus devices. So Google is very likely to push a repair to Nexus devices, and they will probably fix all the associated problems before they push this to a third-party manufacturer. Hopefully.
Right, but it hit the AOSP, right? So,
well, the thing is, they pushed it to AOSP, but now they're finding all these issues. So my guess is that, you know, before any manufacturer actually lets this thing out of their testing labs, they're going to wait for Google to fix a few of these problems, or they're going to fix them themselves.
One can hope.
Whatever you can complain about Verizon, my carrier, they don't release updates that often because they refuse to accept certain things. They're very picky, which can be good and bad. It means either you deal with a bug for 5 months because they won't release an update because it doesn't contain everything they want, or you stay on a version for a long period of time. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Long may I be blessed. Anyway, I haven't had that many problems with the Nexus 7, which got its 4.2 update. I told you that, didn't I? That I know.
Yes.
It's actually very nice. I have to try out the multi-user mode. That's the only thing I haven't really played with. It also has that, if you've seen the images, it has the top panel with the quick settings on the right side and the regular notification bar on the left side.
Interesting.
Well, it is, because you know, I just keep forgetting to swipe the right side.
Mm-hmm.
See, there needs to be a setting somewhere where you can switch it. Because bear in mind, I have a tendency to swipe down on the notifications to hold the phone in my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And swipe down on the notifications with my right hand. I don't know why, that just seems to be the way I do it. So I have to get used to it, but if they offered it where you could just sort of swap it if you happen to like it better the other way, that would probably be a nice feature. It might be there somewhere, and I just didn't notice it. Anyway, moving along, we have some more stuff to talk about. Google Plus now supports Play Store direct download links for applications inside posts. Not much cool to say about that one. Verizon is now preloading the Amazon App Suite, which includes the App Store, the MP3, etc. So all of the Amazon apps, including their App Store. So the question is, could Verizon, which previously removed Google and made a Bing phone out of Android, could they offer an Amazon phone, a phone that doesn't have any of the Google services but replaces them with the Amazon versions? What do you think, Jerry? Could they not include Google?
No, they have to include Google Play.
You'd be surprised. Sorry,
they do.
You'd be surprised. You're saying they have to because we think they have to, but I thought they would have included Google on an Android phone, but on, you know, several phones they put out, they included Bing instead.
And boy, right?
Weren't those popular?
Yeah, that's... Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth after they wouldn't come out.
Yeah, but I think including Amazon content is not a bad idea.
No, throw the Kindle app on there. Throw the MP3 stuff on there. Yay, good stuff. I mean, I don't know about the MP3, but I think a large portion of people install Kindle on there already on there. So go ahead, put it on there. Yay.
I'm still waiting for the Amazon video app.
Right?
They have it for iPad. Oh, where's the Android version?
Would just be awesome.
No, but they have it on the Kindle Fire. They have an app. And they have an iPad app. So where is the Amazon video app for regular Android without your Kindle Fire? If they're saying they don't care about devices, they just care about promoting their ecosystem, it should be here already. Sorry, that just makes me angry. Moving along, what makes a good tablet app, Jerry?
A good tablet.
Have you put Cyanogen Mod Nightlies on your Nook Color yet?
I have not.
They now have Nightlies for 10. Anyway,
I'm all excited. I'm all a tingle.
I thought this article was interesting, and you can check it out on it in the show notes. It shows several apps and how they're not necessarily taking best advantage of screen real estate in a tablet and how they could. For example, they show the Dropbox app, which does not take advantage of a tablet layout on Android, but does on an iPad.
Interesting.
Oh, I
wonder why. I mean, they've already gone through the effort of designing the layout. It's probably just a matter of time until they get it ported over.
Well, you know, if you look at things like the Gmail app on a tablet, where they really have put in a better tablet interface, you know, with the what do they call it, fragments, was what they're, the screen elements.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing stopping. Moving on to some app news. I know Murph is excited. He said yay news earlier. Tweet Lanes is ceasing active development due to Twitter's new 100,000 user limit. By the way, they're not the only one. Team Boyd will be discontinuing the Boyd Twitter client. So a lot of Twitter clients are dropping out.
Well, duh.
It's still disappointing. People like these apps.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a built-in maximum to how many users you can have. But, and it's hard to be profitable with free stuff when your limit is 100,000 users.
But that was a decision made by Twitter, which is a somewhat unpopular decision for those people who like these apps and don't necessarily like the default Twitter app.
I really hope that Twitter dies a fiery death.
I sort of like Twitter, but I don't like this. You know what? I want people to move on.
Awesome. However, the way that they have comported themselves recently, when I say recently, I mean like the last 6 months to a year, just unacceptable.
I think they could, you know, I understand they need to monetize, you know, because you can't spend your entire life being free. But they could have found a way to monetize without chasing away those people who, I'm not talking about building their livelihood, I'm talking about the users who came in and said, I, you know, I like Twitter, I want to use it this way, and a developer who said, well, I can make help you use it that way.
Here's a thought.
Move to Google Plus. Their
big move Twitter down. Is large now because of the third party app or the third party ecosystem that got that you know grew up around Twitter, and now they're trying to kill and it. One might say effectively kill that third party ecosystem. So let them die.
Okay, I just have to find a new home.
Kill the golden goose, bite the hand that feeds you. Whatever cliche. Metaphor you want to use, maybe so be it.
Maybe it's time for George Garreau to make a reappearance. I still feel bad about that whole Google Plus thing. Anyway, that's my own personal problem. But Hootsuite, which I believe since it had 100,000 plus users before this, is currently exempt, was updated to 2.0. And the official Twitter app, the only one Twitter wants you to use, is updated with previews, photo streams, and some other junk. Eh. You don't usually hear me saying eh. But I agree with you, Jerry. I'm disappointed. Pandora for Android was updated. There have been feature improvements, but there's still some quality issues. Check it out if you're a Pandora
user. There are always going to be quality issues.
With the sound.
Yes. You know why?
Because it's a mobile app?
Because you're on a phone, dude. Your connection to the internet sucks.
Not if you're on home Wi-Fi. Okay. You could have more than one. No, I'm saying you could have more than one quality level in an app.
Oh, sure.
So why not?
And they do.
But they don't have as good as you would get on the desktop app.
Well, your desktop has a pretty solid connection to the internet. It's not like your desktop's out cruising along I-95 trying to maintain a connection to a streaming server while hopping from tower to tower to tower.
It's called better quality while on Wi-Fi, lesser quality when on cell. It's a setting.
Yeah.
It's a feature.
And I'm sure that the streaming quality adjusts. It is inconceivable to me that there is one bitrate that Pandora broadcasts, and that's it.
Well, there's two, but there's only one that the mobile app does. Let me just check the article, because I remember they have the specs here. Here we are. Pandora 1 on the desktop allows 192 kilobit audio, but on mobile, regardless of account type or connection, there's a maximum of 64 kilobit AAC.
AAC or AAC plus?
AAC.
Or HEAAC.
It's a 64 kilobit AAC on mobile, but on the desktop with Pandora 1, which is the paid service, you can get up to 192 kilobits.
Well, if it's AAC plus, 192 kilobits is plumb dumb overkill. And 64 kilobit AAC plus is pretty reasonable.
Well,
pretty decent quality.
Well, again, but if they do have another quality level, why won't they let you use it on your mobile device? Are you telling me Pandora can't keep up, you know, a phone can't keep up with 192 kilobits? Other services stream 192 kilobit files.
Well, if other services jumped off a bridge, do you think Pandora should?
I'm sure Katy Perry apparently wants them to. Didn't she and some other artist recently write some sort of letter against Pandora's attempts to change... rebroadcast rights for streaming services in terms of how they calculate royalties?
I do not know.
I didn't pay that much attention. Anyway, moving along, HD Widgets was updated and brings support for 4.2 lock screen widgets. So 4.2 supports widgets on the lock screen, which third-party apps have been doing for, what, two or three versions now? But it's now part of the operating system, and HD Widgets now supports it. The Expedia app was updated. It is now tablet-ready and includes flights and hotels. If you want to buy your travel services through Expedia, which some people do, or they wouldn't have an app. Chameleon Launcher. You remember that one, Jerry? The one that first it was a Kickstarter project. Then they were wanted $10 a pop for it. The price has now been lowered to $3.99. Proving that not as many people as you might think might pay $10 for a launcher.
Hmm.
There are things I'd pay $10 for. I paid $20 for Touchdown. I'm still upset that you can only use that on one.
As a Cowboy fan, I'd pay $20 for a touchdown.
I'm sorry, I don't have a rim shot there, Jerry. Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. Anyway, but no, touchdown was the exchange product that isolated the exchange files. Because if I used exchange native exchange support, then my phone would get wiped if the administrator wanted me to. Whereas if I use that, it isolates everything, which I like. But Chameleon Launcher has some nice design features, but it might be a better deal at $4 than it is at $10. Microsoft SkyDrive app was updated, allows you to upload from the SD card. Box, another file service, is added in-app previews, offline folders, and a transfer manager. And while everybody is leaving, Echo Phone now has a Twitter client in beta, at least until they kill it, they being Twitter.
I think we should boycott Twitter.
As soon as I find an alternative. Want to pay for app.net, Jerry? We can all talk on app.net.
That would imply that every one of our listeners wants to pay for app.net, too.
We could move over to Identica. I'm already on Identica.
I don't think there's an Identica client for Windows.
I'm sure there is. They have a website, though. I'm sure somebody makes it. Murph is on Identica. I'm on there, but I don't have that much to say. I'm fairly quiet sometimes. Notification Weather offers current weather in the enhanced notifications available through Jelly Bean. People are weather obsessed. My mother has an Android phone, and she's always forever checking the weather where she is, where I am, where my brother is, where my uncle is.
Oh, dude, preaching to the choir. My mother watches the Weather Channel like it's...
My mother used to.
All the time.
But, you know, I have to agree with her. Ever since the management change over there where they fired all the good meteorologists, the quality has gone down. Remember, this is a channel that hired Al Roker.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, I still don't like Al Roker.
And that doesn't help me know who it is.
And he's a weatherman. He does their morning show. He's obnoxious and disgusting. I'm sorry. Although he did go through a spectacular weight loss, for which I can credit him, but I still think he's a disgusting individual, and I don't like watching him.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't often say that I don't like people, but I don't like Al Roker.
Great.
Okay, anyway, Nova Launcher, which is what I'm currently using on my phone, was updated for version 4.2. So it now supports the newer version of Jelly Bean. A few things broke. Blogger for Android has now been updated. And this is a good one. A Super SU was updated with preliminary multi-user support. The update allows the primary owner of the device to control root access and block access for secondary users. So whoever the primary user of a multiple user device under 4.2 gets the root access and can prevent other users from getting that same access.
Sweet. That sounds useful.
I think it is. This is an interesting one. HackSync fills the phone book with high-resolution contact photos from Facebook if you're annoyed that that feature no longer works with the official Facebook app. I gave this one a try. I wanted to see pictures of all the people I had because I was told that I would see them when they called.
I like it.
Well, I think Facebook should be doing that, but they stopped. So, this guy for 99 cents has a nice app, and he keeps updating it. So then you don't really have to install Facebook, which I really don't want. I just want nice pictures of the people who I call, so when they call, I can identify them. And then I don't have to take them myself. Google Play Music was updated. It supports gapless playback. Was I talking to you about gapless playback recently, Jerry? I was talking to somebody about it.
Wasn't me.
Okay, I can't remember who I was talking to. It must have been that other podcast I do. Wait a minute, I don't do another podcast.
Maybe you were talking to somebody at work about it.
Yes, because I can imagine, you know, sitting around the water cooler saying, did you hear that there's now gapless playback on Google Play?
It could happen.
It could. I don't really talk to my coworkers about Android. Well, actually, there's this one guy. But we really don't talk about it that much. He just keeps changing his phone every 5 months, and I find it amusing. Let's see. Data switch, if you're interested, switches off mobile data and turns it on at regular intervals so that it can sync. So this is if you want to save battery, it'll turn off your mobile data, but periodically turn it on and sync your whatever's syncing.
That could be extremely useful if you're in a low bandwidth area or a low signal area.
Well, also if you have limited power and you're trying to save it. If you don't need to constantly be checking for updates, you can tell it every 10 minutes for everything, which would override most of the apps. SpeakMe, and I tried this one. I couldn't quite get it to work, but I didn't spend much time on it. It speaks incoming notifications and allows you to select per app settings. So when the notification comes in, it will speak to you and read the notification. So that would be... I wanted to try this for when I was in the car.
That could be embarrassing.
I drive alone most of the time.
Right, but imagine you're at work or in a restaurant getting something to eat, and then all of a sudden...
It reads you your text message from your significant other. I'm waiting at home for you. I love you. Or,
you know, you'll have something turned on at home and it's not the oven. I don't think that would be embarrassing, but, you know.
Well, mine was pretty tame. I wasn't trying to go for embarrassing. I'm just saying something you might not want to be publicly broadcast, but it allows for
your name.
Well, it allows for per app settings, so you could turn it off for specific apps. The idea is good.
The idea is good. No, and to me, it seems like a great accessibility feature.
Well, I'm not even thinking of it, you know, for accessibility. I'm thinking of it, I'm driving in my car.
I bet Jonathan would think of it in an accessibility
feature. Well, it actually uses the accessibility functions of Android to work. So I'm sure he would like it, but he would want all of his notifications to speak all of the time, whereas I would only want some of mine to speak some of the time. And you see, I'm a little wary of the accessibility features in Android because of what happened the last time I turned them on.
That was funny.
Anyway, finally, YouTube's update allows video pushing and remote control from the device to Google TV, which was previously partially available with the YouTube remote app, which is being rolled into the full YouTube app. And that brings us to the end of news, but I do have one final surprise for you, Jerry.
That wasn't news. Well, that was
app news. But I have one final surprise for you.
What's that? Do we have a guest?
We have a voicemail.
Oh my gosh. Is it from Dor?
Who else voicemails us? Which is simultaneously wonderful and disappointing. Wonderful because I do love hearing from him, and disappointing because...
Because nobody else does.
Yeah, well, I'd like to. Sorry, as I mentioned, Google Voice re-authenticated itself, so I just have to tell this to... No, I don't want to configure voicemail. This thing doesn't actually have any... How can I be configuring voicemail if this thing doesn't actually have a phone number anymore? Thought I fixed this a while ago. Sorry. Be right with you. Otherwise, I'll have to find another device to play the voicemail. No, I went to skip setting up voicemail. Okay, here we are. November 16th from the Door-to-Door Geek. Let's hear what he has to say. Play. You can do it. Play.
Hello, Android. Hey, hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. Jerry, I hope everything is still going in a positive, good direction for your weight loss. Now to the thing. I'm literally a minute and a half in, 2 minutes in, and I already have an app suggestion for Jerry. Instead of running around to different stores, Jerry, I heavily encourage you to next time check out the app Talk To, TalkTo. It's also a website, TalkTo.com. With this app, you search for businesses by business name and town, then you pick the business, and then you can communicate with said business and ask them questions like, do you have this router in stock? And they can reply to you via, I believe it is text message or email. I did it as a text message to my Google Voice number so I could block them if it turned into spam. And I was definitely shocked at the promptness and the accuracy of the question I asked to a local 7-Eleven type of store. So definitely encourage you guys, check out that app and let me know.
Wow.
Your feelings are good, bad, different. Guys, keep up the good work. I'm back in the rest of the chair.
Gotta love that guy.
This is kind of interesting. I wonder if it works.
Well, you should give it a try for next week, Jerry.
Huh.
But I will be doing some testing, possibly over the Thanksgiving holiday, of some alternate ways to run the show. I came up with some interesting ideas.
Wow, that's interesting.
You're talking about the app, but enjoy the app.
The Talk To, talktoo.com.
Yes. But we'll see what happens. I still have 2 weeks to figure out the whole. How do I run this show with a minimum of equipment? So it may not be as good a quality as a normal episode, but at least we'll be able to do an episode.
Sweet.
Yes, and Murph apparently doesn't trust any form of electronic communication, despite the fact he's currently talking to us on IRC, which I thought was electronic communication. He apparently runs his computer on Steam. Nothing to say about that, Jerry?
I think it was a misguided effort at a joke, because Steam would still be used to generate electricity to run his computer, so it would still be electronic communication.
Okay. I'll accept that. So, any final thoughts for next week, Jerry, for us to keep in mind until we talk again?
Oh, man. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. If you are American, have a good Thanksgiving.
And if you're not, you don't have to be American to
appreciate the sentiment?
Yeah.
Okay, may you be thankful for whatever it is you have this Thanksgiving. If you are in America, or, may you eat massive amounts of turkey and then fall asleep in front of your television, as is the American way. That's what people, normal people do, right?
I'm yes, not normal. And watch so. The Cowboys play the Redskins.
Not me. I'm sorry, I'm not a football fan.
It's all right. We can't all be perfect.
I consider myself impressed that I actually knew those were both football teams. That's better than I normally do.
You did fine. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And if anybody has any feedback, be it on ways to use an old phone, be it on possible suggestions or ideas on how to select a new mattress, or any other of the random topics we discussed, or any other topic that you may wish to discuss, please write us. That's podcast@androidbuffet. Tweet us until we abandon Twitter over at Android Buffet. Send us a message on Facebook. That's facebook.com/androidbuffet. Oh, the Nexus 7 just rebooted. I guess there are random reboots on 4.2. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. You can, of course, send us a message using the Google Plus page, and the intrepid Kevin McLaughlin will forward it along. Of course, you can leave us a voicemail. That's 2012-WENECA. That's W-E-N-E-C-A. Wenica. It's a fun word to say, isn't it?
Wenica. Wenica. Wenica, 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 yes. Wenica, 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 Wenica.
Okay, we are, of Wenica. Course, a proud Wenica. Member of the Tech Podcast Network. They seem like nice people. They do nice things. And I would name some nice things they do, except my tablet just randomly rebooted. Here's to Google finding a solution to that problem. Anyway, of course, you can check out their other shows at techpodcast.com. We will, of course, be back next week after Thanksgiving. That will be the 26th, when Jerry will regale us with tales of how he prepared his bird. Are you preparing a bird, Jerry?
I'm not. My family and I are driving to visit my parents, so I have a 16-hour drive ahead of me one way, and then...
Will you be back on Monday?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless something goes massively wrong.
Will you be tired?
Probably. We're planning on getting back Sunday.
Okay.
Around midday.
And then later at, that week, I will be flying down to your state. So I expect you to wave as I fly by on the airline without any internet. JetBlue, please and get so some internet.
I shall. I was just reading an article about how American Airlines, the company, but airlines, which are American, really have sucked when it comes to in-flight Wi-Fi adoption.
Well, actually, some airlines are doing pretty well. Delta has a pretty good... Southwest is getting better. JetBlue is supposed to start it within the next few months. They've kept delaying it. But
right, because JetBlue doesn't have a single airplane with in-flight Wi-Fi, correct?
No, they have a single airplane with in-flight Wi-Fi. They had a test airplane, BetaBlue. I don't know if they've taken it out of service. But they have promised, and every time I fly on JetBlue, I tweet, why isn't there internet yet? And they always tell me soon.
Soon.
Well, it's not malicious. I really expected that by the time I flew next, they would actually get it. But, it's not like I'm obsessive enough that I couldn't last, 2 to 5 hours without internet. It makes the time pass quicker. I don't want to watch television anymore. When they first started out, I was interested in watching a television and keeping myself entertained that way. There's nothing that interests me on television anymore. That's not that I don't watch television. I'm just saying, whenever I fly on a plane, I can't find any show that I would watch if I was at home.
Right.
So I might as well do something that I would actually enjoy.
Yes.
Rather than think about the fact that I am sitting at 36,000 feet wondering why the plane doesn't fall out of the sky. I understand the physics of it. It's just more of an emotional feeling.
Okay.
Anyway. That said, I will be in the Orlando area early the following week, and I will be flying back from Orlando after visiting the sites there. So that's as close as I'm getting to you, Sarger.
Yay!
Yay, I won't be getting closer, or yay, I will be close, but not close enough.
Yay, you'll be pretty close.
I'll keep you posted on my plans. If any of you are in the Legoland Disney area and wish to say hi, feel free to drop me a line. You know where to find me. I answer the email. That said, we will be back next week with another exciting episode. Jerry, would you like to take us out with a traditional Thanksgiving anything? Is there a traditional Thanksgiving goodbye that you'd like to express?
Not really. Have a good nap. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's try not to
Try not to
treat natives so horribly this year.
Try not to kill your relatives around the table.
Well, there is always that.
Yeah. I think my brother's coming. Can you imagine two of me? Actually, I think he's worse than I am. I'm the normal one. Isn't that scary?
Not so much.
Okay. I'll accept that. And we look forward to hearing from you. And Jerry, I always enjoy speaking to you. Thank you for another week. I am very thankful to have you as my co-host on the show.
And I am thankful that you do such an awesome job at organizing and distributing this this podcast every single week. Because I know you put a lot of time and effort into it, and I am very appreciative of that.
Well, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy this hour, and I really wish more people would send us voicemails, but you can't have everything. That would be how you could reward me, folks. Wouldn't complain about it. Money, lucrative entertainment contracts, but I'm more realistic. The occasional nice email and nice voicemail, I can live. Maybe show up for a live show, talk in the chat room. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our show. Last week we were a little short. I think we made up for it this week. And good night all. Good night, Murph.
Good night, folks.
See you next week.